Amen. It's always good to be in God's house. Let's take our Bibles and open to John. John chapter 16. I got to tell you, just to be real with you, I was struggling on God's direction that He would have me preach tonight. I was praying and asking God to lead, and God was kind of directing me towards a message that I preached a couple months ago on a Wisdom Wednesday. I preached on Here Comes Trouble, and I was talking about King Asa, and that's kind of like one point of a several-point message. And I thought God would maybe have me preach the rest of that message. And so I started studying, and God directed me here in John chapter 16. And God just took it a different route. And as I was studying and praying, and God was directing me, I was sure in my heart that God was leading. And as I was studying, God was had a song put in my heart. I was thinking... reading this verse, and was just thinking of the words of that song, when there's no peace on earth, there's peace in Christ. And I was thinking, you know, that would be good to hear that song, wouldn't you know? Come to church, and I just started smiling when they started singing. And God knows what He's doing. I don't know when He had Sister Carrie and Lydia prepare to sing that song, but I didn't know the direction God was leading me till today. I knew part of it, but I didn't. And He, you know, could have had them prepared. God knew before. You know, God knew. God knows all things. And I just started smiling, thinking, God, thank you. It was a blessing to my heart, and I believe it was a blessing to all y'all's hearts, because the truth of that song, the words of that song, I mean, if you think about it, I don't see how it can't be a blessing to you. If we look in this verse here, John chapter 16, verse number 33. I didn't even tell you what verse it was. Verse number 33. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God was leading, again, I thought God was wanting me to kind of focus on trouble, and we're going to talk about that tonight, about the word tribulation here a little bit, but God was directing me into this and leading me on how we can have cheer in tribulation. Cheer in tribulation. God's word has all the answers. It has all the answers, and we just have to allow God to lead and follow God's lead and be obedient. Sometimes we try things a different way. It ain't going to work unless you try it God's way. When it's clear teaching in the Bible, we need to follow God's lead and follow God's way. So I want to talk about cheer and tribulation. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for this privilege, the opportunity to speak your word, God, but it's a heavy responsibility. God, I need you. We all do. God, I need you to fill me, God, and we all need to hear your word, to hear from you tonight, God. So I pray that you would speak. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would move, that you'd have liberty, and that you'd be glorified and honored in all that happens here tonight. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You look here in this verse 33. Let's just go over this, and then we're going to look at a few other verses, and then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture and spend the rest of the time there. But in this verse, right in the middle of this verse, you find two words, shall have. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Guaranteed. If God says you shall have something, you shall have something. And I don't think anyone in here is going to argue the truth of that. Not me, preacher. I'm not going to have tribulation. I've never had tribulation. I don't think anyone in here is going to argue that, because I think all of us can testify. Amen. Been there, done that. It's true. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Look at two other verses towards the second line of that verse. Might have. That's not guaranteed, but possible. God's not going to tell us we can have something if it's not possible. So, shall have, guaranteed tribulation. Might have, not guaranteed, but possible. And then, towards the end of that verse, he says, but be of good cheer. Again, it's not a guarantee, but if God says you can be, then it's possible. So that's another one that's not guaranteed, but possible. So you shall have tribulation, but the other two that are not guaranteed but possible are the ones that we want. We want peace, right? That's not something that anyone here is going to argue. I think everyone in here says, that is something I want. I want peace. I want to be of good cheer. Those are things I want in my life. I don't want tribulation, but we're going to have tribulation. So through the tribulation, God is saying, you might have, and you can be. You might have peace, and you can be of good cheer. I mentioned, hold your place there because we'll come back, but I mentioned the trouble, tribulation, trouble, trials. God says, and I just want to remind us that we're all going to face it. It says right here, you shall have it. I want us to remind of, if turn back with me to Job. And we read these verses the last time when I mentioned here comes trouble. But Job, again, these are verses none of us are going to argue. None of us are going to say, you know what, I don't think that's true. Job chapter 14. Verse number 1, let me get there. Job 14, verse number 1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Again, everyone in here could say, I agree. I've faced trouble. If you've been born of a woman, you've faced trouble, because God's word is always right. It's always true. Chapter 5, in verse number 6 and 7, we see a similar truth here. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upwards. This just, again, just tells us again what we already know, that God's word is true. Ye shall have tribulation. One more verse, and then we'll go back to John. Jeremiah chapter 8. I just found it's kind of comical, but it's not, because it's true. The way this verse is worded, Jeremiah chapter number 8, verse number 15. Sometimes you can laugh, but through the tears, because you know this verse is true. It says, we looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. There it is again, popping its head up. Just when you don't want it around, here it comes. Trouble, tribulation, trials. And God says it's going to be in our life. Now, it's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. God can use those trials in our life to help strengthen our faith. He can use those trials to mold us and make us into what his will is for our life. But God wants us to have the peace. God wants us to be of the good cheer, but also be prepared for the tribulation. Back there in John chapter 16 again, how to have cheer in the tribulation. I want us to point out twice two more words. I said far as the not guaranteed but possible, there was the might have, but if you back up a couple words, it says in me. So how is it possible, because of those two words, in me, that in me you might have peace? Without the in me, you're not going to have the peace. It's possible, but only in me. And then the other two words towards the end, it said, but be, well, how can you be of good cheer? Because the next two words after that, I have. This is all about Christ. This is all about Jesus. How can you have peace? How can you have cheer in the tribulation? In Christ. When there's no peace on earth, there's peace in Christ. In Christ. And I started thinking about that term, in Christ, in me. And it just naturally, God directed me back to John chapter 15. And I think we're going to go back here and we're going to look over several things that God talks about being in Him, abiding in Him. Over and over and over in this chapter, God's talking about abiding in Him, being in Him, the vine, the branch being in the vine. God's talking about this and He's teaching us. So we're going to be talking about abiding in Christ. Verse number 4, John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That is a truth that I have to tell myself every day, because my own pride tries to think I can. My own pride tries to think I can handle this. How foolish of me to think, well, this is little, God. I got this. You handle the big things. But we do it all the time. How many times that do you think of times that you don't pray and ask God's help for something? You know what you're saying? I don't need it. Well, it's a little thing. Bible says that in everything by prayer and thanksgiving. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That you know, I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things in me. I can do all things through Christ. Well, so everything, we ought to be praying. We ought to be asking God for strength. We ought to be asking God for direction. We ought to be asking God for guidance. We've seen over and over in the scriptures, and we're not going to take the time, but you can just go through the scripture, and you see over and over when someone does something without praying, it ends in disaster. It ends in defeat. It ends in something you think, well, it was just a little thing, but they did it without praying. And other times they prayed and prayed, and you see how God blessed and how God directed, and God told them what to do, and they followed it. But when they did it on their own, disaster. Disaster. And so we need to depend upon God for everything. But every time you don't pray, I read a quote that said that out of all the sins, they believe the greatest sin is the sin of prayerlessness. Because in that sin is a degree of atheism. When you don't pray, it's a degree of atheism in that, to say, you know what, I don't need to pray. I got this. I don't need God. I don't believe God's going to get involved in this. And it's a shame. But God's saying, without me, ye can't do nothing. How many times have we tried to get to the point? Brother David just preached on it. Dependence or independence? That's the question. That's the question. Because we are so independent, we think we got it. Our pride just builds up. But God just tells us right here, take this verse, hide it in your heart. For without me, ye can do nothing. The branch outside of the vine is nothing. Cut one off. What's it going to do? It's going to die. Try to plant it into the ground by itself. What's it going to do? It's going to die. It needs the vine. That branch needs the vine. So I want to point out a couple things, and we're getting a couple points here that I believe God has for us to help us. How can we abide in Him? I want to point out just not a point in my message, but just the truth that I believe God's wanting to show us, that abiding in Christ does not prevent tribulation. Abiding in Christ does not prevent the trouble. He said in this life, he didn't say in this life, if you don't abide in me, you'll have tribulation. He said in the world, ye shall have tribulation. So the abiding in Christ does not prevent tribulation. He said in the world, and you're in the world, so there's tribulation. In fact, abiding in Christ can cause pain. Look at verse number 2. Well, let's go to verse 1 and then we'll hit verse 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Purging is painful if you're the branch. If you're the branch and you're getting purged, if you're getting pruned, it's painful. And God says, if you're in me and you're bringing forth fruit, what's he going to do? He's going to purge. So it doesn't get rid of the tribulation. It doesn't get rid of the trouble. Sometimes it causes pain, being in Christ. But it's for our own good. Pruning a tree is not to say, I hate this tree, I'm going to prune it all up. When you prune a tree, you're trying to help the tree. You're trying to cause it to bring forth much fruit. Our own pride, our own doing things our own way, sometimes we get things in our life that don't need to be there, and God knows better. And God says, you know what? I need to cut that out. And I don't like that, God. Well, if you want to be successful, if you want to be used by God to the best of your ability, that's got to go. Some friendships that we make, God says, nope, we've got to prune that out. Some habits that we do, I've got to prune that out. Got to purge it. And when you put, I know some of us know this, if you don't, let's learn. When you put the ETH after a word, what does that mean? Continuous. Purgeth. God's saying, this is not something I want to do one time and it's going to hurt and then you'll be better for it. Yeah, you're going to be better for it, but then when something else starts growing and you get something else in there, God says, yeah, that's got to go too. Why? Because God wants us to bring forth fruit. We'll see that here in the scriptures. God wants us to bring forth fruit, and that's part of abiding in Christ. We'll see that. And abiding in Christ is how we can have peace. The abiding in Christ is how we can have cheer, so we want that. We want to abide in Christ. We need it, because without Christ, we can do nothing. So we need to. So part of it is bearing fruit. So we want to be the best fruit bearers we can be, because that's what God wants us to be, and that's part of abiding in Him. And so that's what God's got to do. So it doesn't prevent the tribulation. So let's look at 3 points here on how we can abide in Christ. Number one, just mention it, fruit bearing. Bearing fruit. He says in verse 1 again, we'll read those verses again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let's look at verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In verse number 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. I think God wants us, number one, to abide in him, realize that's what we need. Number two, when we do, bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. You ought to be bringing forth fruit. What's fruit? What's fruit? Well, that's disciples. That's reproducing. That's bringing forth fruit for God. There's a lot of things about fruit. God talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Those are things that we ought to be bringing forth in our life. But I think all of us, this is showing that we ought to be soul winners. And you're not going to be bringing forth fruit. You're not going to be winning souls if we get things in our life that don't need to be there. That's why God's got a purging. God's just saying, you need to abide in me. Abide in me, and then you can bring forth fruit. And I think all of us in here want to. All of us in here, you heard the prayer request of people praying for co-workers and family that aren't saved. And we want to win them to Christ. And we want to be able to bring that fruit in to Christ in our life. And God wants that. He says not just bring forth fruit, but he wants us to bring forth much fruit. And that our fruit shall remain. The fruits of the Spirit. So I want those to remain in my life. But I also want to be fruitful as a soul winner. But that's a way of abiding in Christ. And doing that, again, God's word, it's not, never wrong. It's always right. God says, you can have peace because you're in him. You can have cheer, be of good cheer. So number one, abiding and fruit bearing. Number two, and this is a big one, it's one that we know, sometimes we just got to be reminded. Verse number seven. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So number two, how do we abide in Christ? We have God's word abide in us. God's word is important. God's word is important. That's God abiding in us. God's word's abiding in us. And he says that. If you abide in me and I in you, how does God abide in us? Well, his words can abide in us. And if his words are in us, guess what? They're going to come out of us. And that's how we can bring forth fruit, right? When we're giving God's word to other people, it brings forth fruit. Because God's word doesn't return void. He teaches us that. So for us to have the peace, and we're going to have tribulation, so we want peace. So we got to learn how to abide in Christ. Number one, by bringing forth fruit. Number two, being in God's word. Allow God's word just to get in our life, to meditate upon it, to read God's word. We got to. I've heard the other men preaching and just keep hammering this. And we need to, because we need to be reminded. If we ever get it, let it start slipping, and we don't allow God's word to be in our heart, we don't read God's word, we're not going to be fruitful. We're not going to have peace. How can you have peace if we're not dwelling in God's word? This world is troublesome. This world's full of trouble. This world, tribulation all around us. But when we have God's word in our heart, it brings us peace. Amen. You know that's true. If you read God's word, you know that. You can't dwell in God's word and abide in God's word and read God's word and take it in and meditate upon God's word without that bringing peace in your heart. Amen. So if you're that's how you see people going through a trial. We got people in our church going through trials. I really don't know anyone in here that could say I'm not going through a trial. Our church has gone through some trials recently, and we're still going through some trials. But how people can be going through a trial, a heavy trial, with a smile on their heart and peace, with a smile on their face and peace in their heart? How? They're abiding in God's word. And the words of God, there's so many scriptures that can bring you comfort. But how can it bring you comfort if you don't know them? How can it bring you comfort if you don't ever read those words? But there's so many comforting words that are in the scripture that God wants to give you that peace. And God wants to give you good cheer. How? Through his word. Through his word. Go home and just start thinking of it. Start, if you're going through a trial and your heart is heavy, just start searching through the scripture where God talks about being of good cheer and being at peace. He over and over through trials and through storms, God was saying, peace, be of good cheer, be not afraid, because we need God's word to teach us that, and he wants to give us that peace. But we got to have God's word in us. We need it. I said this one's very, very important. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Number one, abiding and fruit bearing. Number two, abiding in God's word. Number three, abiding in God's love. Verse number 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Don't that sound somewhat similar to chapter 16, verse 33? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And he's saying here, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. Peace, good cheer, joy, here's another one we want. My joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Not only just joy, but joy that's to the fullest. Think about that. God's saying this is possible for you. I'm telling you how it's going to happen. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. I'm telling you how it can happen. Why? You abide in love. And he goes on to say, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And then look down at verse number 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So how can we abide in Christ? Love. What does 1 John 4, 7, 8 say? He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. You can't abide in Christ and not love. How dwelleth the love of God in you? If we sit there and be hateful one to another, and we talk bad about one another, and we gossip and backbite and just try to tear everyone down, that's not abiding in Christ. It's impossible. How can you abide in Christ when God is love and we're spewing out hate? You're spewing out things that are tearing down. That's not abiding in Christ. So if you're abiding in Christ, love's going to come out. And he's saying that you ought to love one another. I'm telling you to do this. He's saying, abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Love one another as I have loved you. That's a hard thing to do. The love like Christ loves. But how can we do it? Abiding in him. And when we abide in him, again, the Bible teaches, in me, you might have peace. Well, we need it. I'm telling you, my heart's been broken. I'm hurting for many people, going through sicknesses, going through trials, going through hard times. We've had deaths in our church, and people are hurting, and their hearts are broken. And so many times, when people hit trouble, that's when they leave God. They get to that point and they say, oh, it hurts. I'm going through this trial. I'm hurting. I don't think I want to go to church tonight. Maybe someone out there is watching on live stream right now, and then that's what you're going through. You had no reason not to be here. It wasn't sickness. It was just the fact that I'm going through a trial, and I just don't feel like going to church. That's the worst thing you could do. To pull away from the source of peace, from the source that will give you joy, from the source that says you can have good cheer, but it's only in him. But I'm going to pull away. I just don't feel like opening that right now. I'm just going through some trials, and man, my heart's been broken. Something happened, and God's saying, open my word.
I got something I want to tell you. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to show you how to have peace. And you think, oh, I just, no. We don't get on our knees and we don't pray. And eventually we just, we're gone. Seeing it over, over, and over again. And I'm afraid there's people right now on that verge. You've been hurt. You're going through a trial and you think, just like when I preached this before about here comes trouble, and we talked about King Asa, and over and over he did the right thing. He went to God when trouble came, and God told him what to do, and he obeyed God. But that one time he says, you know what? I'm not going to go to God. I'm going to go this other way. And what happens when we get away from that disaster? Our pride just goeth before a fall. And the Holy Spirit, you know, goes before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. The Holy Spirit before a fall. That's what happens. The Word of God is true. And we wanted this. God's given us warnings. And preachers get up and tell you, warning, caution. Don't go this way. And yet people just headlong, keep going and ignoring what God has for us, ignoring the warnings God's saying, you want the peace? Here's how to have it. I've spoken this to you so you can have peace. I've spoken this to you so you can have joy. It doesn't mean you're not going to hurt, but we need help. We need help. We need that cheer. We need that peace in our hearts. We need that. And God, there is peace in Christ. When there's no peace on earth. When the mountains, Brother Brandon and Sister Jennifer sing that song, you know, when the mountains start to fall, could fall, and the oceans can dry, and all these things can happen. But even with all of that disaster all around, you know what? We can still have peace in Christ. That's the only way. The worst thing we can do, get away from Christ. The worst thing we could do when trouble comes and trials come and the heartache comes is to stop reading our Bible. The worst thing we could do is to stop praying. The worst thing we could do is to stop telling people about Jesus. I mean, the trials in your life can open the doors for giving the gospel to people. When you can come to them with a broken heart and say, you know what? Let me tell you about the mender, the heart mender. My heart's been broken, but let me tell you about that one that can mend your heart. Let me tell you about that one that can give you the peace through the tears, through the storm, who he can just speak the words and calm the storms in your life. And those words can mean so much more to someone than someone who's not going through trials. Especially people that know you and know you're going through those trials and you just have those doors to witness. The worst thing we could do is just to stop. Because you're not going to have peace. And people that do it over and over and over and over again, they try to find it in this and they try to find it in that. And they try to get that peace that can only come in Christ. And eventually they just go so far out in the world and so far out in sin that only God can bring them back. And thank God that there's people that have came back who've realized that God's opened their eyes and think, just like the prodigal son, he thinks, what a dummy. My servants of my father have more than enough to spare. What am I doing out here in the hog pen? But there's so many. Once they get out there, they don't make it back home to the Father. So as a warning, if you're out there in the hall pen, you're not hearing this message. You're not on church tonight. You're not here at church tonight. You're not on live stream saying, I want to hear what God has for me. You're out there in the world. You're not hearing this message. This is a warning to those that are going to face or maybe facing it right now, and you're thinking about it. You know what? I'm hurting. Let me go try something else. Let me go back to the world. Let me go back to anything other than abiding in Christ. That's the answer. God's word is never wrong. That's the answer. Look at it again if you still got your Bible open, turn back to verse 16 and I'll be done. Or chapter 16, verse 33. You got to pay attention to God's word, what it says. Every word of God. And he says, these things have I spoken to you that in me. Underline those words. Circle it. Mark it. In me. You might have peace. Now, we don't like the next part. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Christ. He's overcome it. He can give us peace. He can give us cheer. He can give us joy. But we're not going to get it by trying a different recipe. You're not going to get it by trying a different recipe. You got to follow God's word. You want peace? You want to cheer? You got to be in Christ. Over and over through the scriptures, God talks about abiding in him, being in him. And it's good to just take and mark those things. Mark it and memorize it and just focus on it. This is how I can abide in Christ. I can abide in Christ by reading my Bible. I can abide in Christ by soul winning. I can abide in Christ by loving. Love's so important. Well, there's so much hate around. If Christians don't love people, I mean, who is? The ones that are supposed to be like Christ and Christ is love. And if we can't love our own brothers and sisters, how could, you know, by this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. But that's all part of abiding in Christ. And we need it. We need it. I know I needed this message. If nothing else, that God was dealing with me and directing me. And like I said, I just had a big smile on my face. And just as God was showing me through that song was being sung, because I was saying, God, I'd love to hear that song. Because you are the answer. Trouble all around, but God, you give peace. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the recipe on how we can abide in him and how we can have that peace. Thank God. There's things we got to do. It's not a guarantee, but it's possible. If you do what God says, abiding in him. Let's all bow our heads.